Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to tell you, y'all's accents threw me a little bit. I thought everybody in New Jersey sounded like Clay. So, I ask you to open your Bibles with me this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 25, Luke 2 and verse 25. I'm just glad that wasn't me. That happened to me one time a while back. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. The title of the message this morning is, Where is Peace Found? Where is peace found? And here we read in verse 25, Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Behold. Now this word gets used to draw attention to what's being said. It would be the same as saying, listen, or sometimes we tell our kids, but pay attention. If there's something we really want them to hear, we say, listen, or pay attention. And that's what's being said here. Behold, what we're about to hear is important. It's worth listening to. Behold, there was a man named Simeon. Now, this is a particular man. A particular man. His name is Simeon. And his name, like many names in the scriptures, it has a meaning, a particular meaning. And Simeon's name, it means to hearken. It means to listen. In James 1, verse 19, we read, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Huh? Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. I don't think we can overestimate or emphasize enough the importance of listening. I remember brother, I think it was Brother Henry said this that God gave us two ears and just one mouth. We probably ought to spend twice as much time listening. Huh? We always have something to say, don't we? Back there in the book of Matthew, Matthew 11:15, we read, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear what's being said. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearkening, listening. I pray the Lord might give each of us here this morning and every time God's people gather together an ear to hear, that we might hear what He has to say, what the Lord, the message that the Lord has for His people, that we might be like Samuel of old. He said this. He said, "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. Speak to me." Behold, there was a man named Simeon. Huh? The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, Simeon here is described much like Job was back there in the Old Testament. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, he was not perfect. In the sense that he was sinless, but he was an upright man, huh? One that feared God and one that avoided evil. Or even Noah. What did the scripture say about Noah? It was said of Noah that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Simeon feared God. He avoided evil. I suspect if you bought something off Simeon, you didn't have to count your change when he gave it back to you. Huh? You didn't have to worry about, listen, he was just and right in his dealings with men. I don't doubt that Simeon paid his bills on time. If he was an employee, he probably showed up to work on time. And he probably didn't try to scoot out early, right? He wasn't stealing ink pens, and he was a good employee. If he was a boss, I suspect that the men and women that worked for him probably were thankful to work for a man like Simeon. Huh? Is there anything wrong with that? Would there be anything wrong if that was said about any of God's people? Shouldn't that be said? Shouldn't that be true of God's people? But now listen, let's not get ourselves caught up in thinking this, that this is how a man is justified in the sight of Almighty God. Huh? Paul, writing to the Romans, he said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, what did he say? There shall be no flesh justified in his sight. And listen, behold, do you still have the text? Huh? Luke 2, verse 25. What's one of the first things we read here that's said of Simeon? It says, behold, there was a man. Behold, there was a man. Though described as a man that feared God, a man that worshiped God, a man that reverenced God, yet this one thing is true of Simeon. He was a man. He was a man. And listen, it's been said, the best of men are men at best. David said this. He said, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? In God's word, we read that man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. What else do the scriptures say about man? Huh? Listen, it declares this, that by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By Adam's sin, by Adam's fall, we were made to be the same thing. We were made sinners. In Job 15 and verse 16, it says this, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. Man was created back there in the garden, created holy and upright. But listen, became a sinner through the fall. When Adam fell, we all fell. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. There's no exceptions made there, are there? Huh? All have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man is born in sin. David said this in Psalm 51 and verse 5. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And how sinful is man? Huh? Listen, what happened in the garden? Did man just stump his toe, or did he completely fall? That's what the scriptures declare. Huh? Man doesn't need a little fixing up. Man is dead in trespasses and sin. Back there, the last time God destroyed this world, this is what he said. He said this of man. He said, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's what God saw. God who sees all things. Huh? Listen, don't take my word for it. Turn back there to Genesis. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What else do we read in scriptures? God's word says this of man. It says, they are all together become filthy. Huh? It says there's none good. It says there's none righteous. It says this, that men are dead, having no hope, and without God in this world. And though we may seek to justify ourselves and compare ourselves with each other, can you imagine a maggot comparing itself to another maggot thinking, I don't look that bad, right? That's easy to say for a maggot, isn't it? What must man look like in the sight of Almighty God who sees all things? Huh? In the sight of God. Listen, are you listening? In God's sight. It says this, that every mouth's going to be stopped and the whole world declared guilty. Huh? Guilty before Almighty God. And by the deeds of the law, by our doing and by our dying, there shall be no flesh justified. Not in his sight. Not in the sight of Almighty God. Listen, that which is maybe in our eyes, huh? We can write a pretty good resume, can't we? Huh? We can clean ourselves up and we can look pretty nice in the sight of man. But listen, that which is highly esteemed among men, it's an abomination, an absolute abomination in the sight of Almighty God. Behold, there was a man, a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. Listen, the patriarchs, the prophets, the apostles, those martyred, the reformers, every last one of them, all sinners in the sight of Almighty God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And listen, our only hope, we have but one hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Look back at our text again here, Luke 2:25. It says here that here we read he was waiting, this man named Simeon, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That word consolation, it means the comfort of Israel. Huh? That which affords comfort, that which brings comfort. And he was waiting. He was waiting. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 27. Look at verse 14, the very last verse, Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You ever repeat yourself to your kids? Huh? When we're trying to emphasize something? That's what we're told here. Wait. Wait on the Lord. And that's what Simeon was doing there. And you know, is it any wonder that David repeats himself here? Because that word wait, it certainly goes against our nature, doesn't it? Huh? We don't wait on anything, do we? Huh? But listen, wait on the Lord. Waiting for the comfort of Israel, the peace of Israel. He's the God of all comfort. Huh? We read in the scriptures. What's God tell his people, his ministers to do? Huh? Comfort ye, my people. Speak comfortably. Huh? Simeon was waiting. I don't know how long he'd been waiting, but he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it says the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Another interpretation says this. He was brought. He was brought by the Spirit into the temple. My friends, if we're ever going to hear him, we're going to have to be brought to him. Huh? Brought by the Spirit into the temple. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Bring him to me. In another place in John 6 it says, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. He brings his sheep to him. So he draws them. You know, I don't know what Simeon's motivation was for going to the temple that day. But I know this. It was the Spirit of God that brought him there. Huh? Consider yourselves. I speaking for myself, the first time I heard the gospel, I didn't end up in that place because I thought, wow, they're preaching the gospel there. I came because I wanted to sit with Abby, huh, with my wife, and maybe grab some ice cream afterwards. And yet the Lord was pleased to reveal the gospel to me. I've got a dear brother and friend, and the Lord took him in combat all the way around the other side of this world. And he told me he sat up on a rooftop with a friend of his, listening to a message. And that's where he heard the gospel. God draws him, his people, to himself. He brings, throughout the scriptures, you see this. He either takes the gospel to them, or he brings them to his messenger. You know, I believe it was Spurgeon. Spurgeon was walking to a service one night, and a snowstorm hit, and he ended up in a place that he didn't plan on being, and it was there. It was there that God revealed the gospel to him. Huh? Listen, the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that quickens, that gives life, that regenerates, that gives life. And if a man is to be saved from sin, he must be effectually quickened by the Spirit of God. He must be given life. Huh? Paul said this in Ephesians 2:1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Turn with me to John chapter 3. Begin with verse 5. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. A new nature. A nature that loves God. And the Spirit of God, like the wind, it can't be seen. It can't be seen, but listen, the power and the work of it is evident. A strong wind blows by. You may not see it, but you'll see the evidence of it. And like the wind, sovereign, we have no control over it. Men have these, we saw some, I think, coming this way, some wind farms, and they put these big windmills up. Well, they can collect it, but they sure can't control where it's blowing, right? It's sovereign beyond man's control. It blows where it listeth. It blows where it pleases. And it's irresistible, like the Spirit of God. It comes in power, subduing and conquering, listen, all that it comes in contact with. Huh? Jonah saw that. Remember that Jonah tried to run and hide from Almighty God. What did he end up saying? He was brought to this. Salvation is of the Lord. Has that been revealed to you? Has the Spirit of God revealed that to you, that salvation is of the Lord? Can we cry? Can we cry the same thing as Jonah, that salvation is of him? It was revealed to Simeon here in our text. You're not going to see death until you've seen the Lord's Christ. Secure in him. That's consolation, isn't it? Isn't that consolation? Isn't that comfort? Resting? Listen, not in anything of ourselves, but resting in Christ and Christ alone. Remember what Abigail? Remember what Abigail said to David? She said this. She said, "The soul." I love this. I love this scripture. "The soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God." Safe and secure in his hand. Our Lord said this. He said, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." In John 10:28, he said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Safe and secure in the hand of Almighty God. I wish we could just enter into that just a little bit. You ever play that game with your kids and you put like a quarter in their hand? I had an uncle who used to do. They put a quarter in his hand. He said, if you get it, you can have it. Never could pry that out of his hand. We're not talking about man's hand, are we? We're talking about God's hand. He said, "No man shall pluck them out of my hand." We're bound up, safe and secure in his hand. That's comfort, isn't it? That's hope, that's rest, that's peace. So listen, there was a man named Simeon. This man who was known to be just and devout. This man who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This man named Simeon, who the Spirit of God was upon. This man of whom it was revealed that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon, brought by the Spirit of God into the temple. His steps, as all his people, ordered of God. And listen, on the day that Mary and Joseph brought the child Jesus into the temple. Now listen, the natural man looks at that and says, "Boy, wasn't he lucky?" No such thing was there. This is one of God's sheep being brought to the master, brought face to face with the Savior. Just as that Samaritan woman was brought to the well. Remember that? Remember that Samaritan woman? She went to the well. Why was she going there? She wasn't going to see the master. She was going to draw water. The Lord met her in that place. How about Zacchaeus? The Lord Jesus Christ was coming through town. Zacchaeus was a man small of stature. He climbed up in a tree to see what's going on. I suspect he was just kind of being a little nosy, Somebody comes to town, I want to see what's going on here. He climbed up in that tree. And we read that when the Lord Jesus Christ came to the place, the very place where he's gonna have the Savior revealed to him. You reckon anything could have ever happened to that sycamore tree? It had to be right there, huh? Right there. All kind of trees may be cut down or knocked down by the wind or whatever, but not that one. It had to be there. Zacchaeus is going to be there. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to cross the path of one of his sheep. In the same manner, here Simeon is brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, led to the temple to see the Savior. Again, isn't that our desire? Isn't that our heart's desire as we've gathered here this morning? Not to see a glimpse, just to catch a glimpse of our Master, to see the Savior, huh? To bring us here to this place to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to us in mercy and grace and love, huh? To teach us of Christ, to give us peace and rest and hope. Isaiah 54:13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be thy peace. Great shall be the peace of thy children. John said the same thing in the New Testament. He said this, he said, they shall all be taught of God. Every man that hath heard of me and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Taught of Christ. Taught of that one great need. Huh? Our need of Him. The sufficiency of Christ. The hope of Christ. The Scriptures declare Christ in you the hope of glory. The peace of Christ. Huh? That peace which passeth all understanding. Simeon was taken up with, listen, one thing. Now this flesh, it's taken up with a lot, isn't it? Huh? It's taken up with so much. Back there in Jeremiah, we read this, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Listen, all these things, wisdom, might, riches, they're here today, and they're gone tomorrow. Huh? Just like they fade away, just like everything else in this world. But if we read on in that text, it says this, but let him that glorieth, glory in this. If we're going to glory in anything, let us glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight. Listen, Simeon wasn't looking to himself. I find it interesting. If we go back there and we see these things that were written about Noah and what we read here about Simeon and Job, it wasn't Job out there saying, this is who I am. This is what men said of them, huh? They weren't boasting these things about themselves. It wasn't Simeon saying, I'm a just man, I'm a devout man. No, the Scriptures declared these things. I don't believe for a minute he was like that Pharisee. Remember that Pharisee that stood in the temple? He said, I thank thee, O God, I'm not like other men, huh? I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even like this publican sitting over here. No, sir. No, sir. Simeon wasn't looking to himself. Simeon wasn't looking to the temple. Huh? He was in the temple, but he wasn't looking to anything. He wasn't looking at the windows, huh? The fancy glass or any of that. No. He wasn't looking to the priest. I'm sure there was a priest wandering around in that temple. He wasn't looking to the priest. He wasn't looking up to the front of the church. These are places men say to look, right? Huh? No. No, there was one thing needful. In Simeon's day, just as it's true in our day. Do you have Luke 2, verse 28? You still have Luke chapter 2, verse 28. then. See that word, then? When is that? When's this then? Huh? It's when he saw him. Huh? When he saw him. Then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God. He worshiped Almighty God, and he said, Lord. He said, Master, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Who was Simeon looking to? He's looking to Christ. Isaiah 45:22, we read this. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And listen, there's none else. There is none else. He saw him. He saw God in human flesh. He saw the Savior. Christ was revealed to him, and he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, let me depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now rest assured of this, there is no peace apart from Christ. Listen, apart from Christ, God is he's a consuming fire. That's what the scriptures declare. But in Christ, listen, we have peace. It's the gospel of peace. Turn with me quickly to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We'll close. Look, beginning with verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. We're witnesses of these things that he did both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they slew. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, not to everybody, but to witnesses, chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it was he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. The gospel of peace. How is it that the believer has peace? Verse 36, he's Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. How is it that we have peace? Look at verse 39. He suffered and died on the tree. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. He was made sin for us. He paid the sin debt, not a down payment, but paid in full. A down payment does you good if you got a little something to finish it off with. My friends, we don't. We don't. He paid the sin debt in full. Made sin for us. And as a result, his sheep go free. He died the just for the unjust. How is it that we have peace? Look at verse 40. God raised him up. Satisfied with his sacrifice. He said this, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." How is it that we have peace? Look at verse 41. It's for It's for His people. Huh? Chosen of God. Chosen of God. And whosoever believeth in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, His people don't have any choice but to believe in Him and to rest in Him. Huh? Whosoever believeth in Him in Christ shall receive the remission of sins. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Well, may we be found. I pray that we might be found looking to Him, looking to Christ. Listen, not ourselves, not the priest, not the temple. Listen, not anything. Not anything. But looking unto Christ and Christ alone. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's who Simeon was looking to. He said this, "Let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." All right. May God be pleased to bless His word.